Morning. Let's see everyone out. Y'all got me all messed up this morning. Somebody said I got to change sides, so I go to the back. But I appreciate our, man, I was excited this morning. Couldn't wait to get back. And Thursday night I was looking for somewhere to go, but felt weird and staying at home. But y'all continue to pray for our church. I know we had a great series of meetings. Randy texted this morning, then I had to call him back, but he texted this morning and said, tell everyone he appreciated the hospitality. He appreciated everything that was done here, appreciated people minding the Lord, and he had a great time. And so it's always good to hear when the evangelist will text you back and tell you something. And if he don't text you back, you assume that it was just okay. But y'all pray for Randy as their church is, they're going through some transitions too. They're fixing to build a family life center, and then eventually a brand new church on the other side of the road. They're getting completely out of their comfort zone. They're changing sides of the road. So they're going to have some definite battles, but be praying for them. And again, I appreciate a revival. Man, what a great turnout. Wednesday night, we had a great, great turnout, great meetings every single night. We supported our revival. It means a lot, and I'm just so proud of you, but more proud of what the Lord can do and what I'm seeing do it in hearts and lives. And just a simple changing of seats shows a desire to wanting to do what God has asked us to do. And maybe we can continue that. I know we can. And I called Randy this morning and had talked with him a little bit. And I said, what are you doing? I always ask him that because he's going to tell you something crazy. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm just out here fishing. I said, fishing? You told us not to go back fishing. He said, you're right, didn't I? So, y'all, let's don't go back to fishing. Those of y'all that wasn't here, he preached a great message about how the disciples went back fishing. They got back to the same old place they was after being with the Lord. And boy, how easy it is. I have told myself all week, don't go back fishing. Don't go back fishing. But is it not amazing that drag of our natural sinful nature we have to want to drag us back? It's like a tug of war pulling at us, but the Spirit of God is stronger than anything he can pull on us. So y'all be much in prayer for one another. Do we have any prayer requests before we start our service this morning? Remember that.
Jeff Dean, they think he got bit by
brown recluse.
I saw that. He's in the emergency room getting IVs.
Y'all remember him? Amen. Remember the Gerald family? Was that Brent Thompson's father-in-law? Remember them, and I had saw that he was kin to some guys I went to school with over in Ramburn. I didn't know that at the time. So y'all remember that family. I know they're hurting. From what I read, he was a great man of God. So y'all be much in prayer for his family. He's in a much better place. He's having the time of his life right now, but y'all remember that family that mourning and they're mourning and grieving, and it's hard to say it's a happy time for them, but we could truly understand what's on the other side. Boy, what a meeting it's going to be. Anybody else? Nothing else, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, God, thank you for the day we've got today, the gift you give us, another day of life. Lord, I ask you to be in our midst, Father, just send your Spirit among us, Father, and change us through your Holy Spirit. God, I ask you to be with our singers as they sing, God. Give them the ability that they stand in need of. Lord, just teach them. Just let them know that they're singing for you. And Lord, that as long as we do our best, what matters, God, I pray for them. Lord, I pray that all these prayer requests that we've heard in our Sunday school classes and other places, Father, I pray that you touch each situation, Lord, as we have many. God, there's ones hurting. There's those that have diagnosed with cancer and different things, God, and I know you can heal. I know you're still on the throne, still all-powerful. Lord, those that's lost loved ones, I pray that you comfort them as it's hard in that time is to realize truly what's on the other side. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly, but one day face to face. And God, I pray that you comfort us through those words. Lord, I ask you to be with our service this morning. Lord, let us, everything we do here, be to honor and glorify your name. And God, I pray this revival doesn't stop. I pray you start a fire in our hearts that continues on, not just in our church, but goes to community, other churches, Father, and to all over our state, all over our land. And Lord, what a blessing it would be to know that we had a little part in that, that you used us just a little bit. And God, we had nothing to brag on but you. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Thank you. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's strong.
Man, boy, I'm still excited. If I try to go fishing again, somebody knock me out of the boat. Don't know why we'd ever want to leave. It's amazing how we enjoy when we're in a good place with the Lord, and then how we can get away from Him, and it should bother us more. I don't know. I wish I could explain it myself. Y'all got my head all messed up this morning, but I love it. I'm going to tell Randy, never do that again. But Luke chapter 14, turn over to Luke chapter 14 as you're turning there. About Tuesday night, the Lord began to put a message on my heart, and I told Randy Wednesday night I had no idea what he was going to preach. He never would tell me that, nor would any other evangelist that was worth his salt. But I didn't tell him anything either. But the Lord began laying a message on my heart of go. Just a simple little word of go. And I began thinking, Lord, that's a small word to preach 30 minutes on, is go. But I had caught myself doing something in my prayer time and in study time. I would begin praying, Lord, send them. Lord, send them. And it's like the Lord spoke to me the other night and said, what do you mean send them? It's not even scriptural. In the scripture it says go get them. It says go. I ain't saying he can't send them because he can. But in the scripture he plainly tells us to go. And I began looking up the word go. And it's pretty simple. You don't have to be real intelligent to understand what go means. It means to move from one place to another. Move from one place to another. I began thinking about our church and churches in a whole, and Brother Andy preached a great message. And before I get too far and forget this, I want y'all to thank our singers as some of y'all come in contact with them. Boy, we had a great song service and ever revival service we had last week, and powerful music. Scooter, and I have to call him Scooter, I can't call him nothing else, done a great job. And then the two that came and led worship for us Tuesday night, man, what a great job they done, and excited about what they can do. And then Wednesday night, they came and sung those old songs, and boy, I love them, and they done a great job singing them, and the music was just amazing all week. But now I'm ready to go, and I began studying about that word and how it means to go from one place to another, and I began thinking about our church and all the churches, and there's nothing more we would love to have than a whole church packed out, nothing more we'd love to have than have to worry about space. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, we didn't finish this one building we're starting yet. Let's don't go too far. But listen, I'm excited to see what God can do when we decide to go. We decide to go. We all want all of them. We want to see people saved. We want to see people come closer to God. We want to see people get excited about God. We want to see all these things. But how many of us truly want to go? Think about it now. Going. Boy, it can mean a lot of things. I began looking up some scripture on the word going and what it can do, and it began scaring me a little bit. When I began reading about places that Jesus told people to go and the Word of God told people to go, it becomes a little bit frightening to us because you've heard this a lot last week, and you're going to hear it some more today as we get so comfortable. We'll get so comfortable, and y'all have gotten uncomfortable this morning just changing places a little bit. And if you was honest with me, you would say, preacher, this don't feel right. It don't feel right being on there looking from that side. I've never done that before, but it just don't feel comfortable. But listen, I believe if you'll do it for a little bit, you'll enjoy it. Try every seat in this place, and you'll find out something, that all of them is just a seat. There's nothing special about them. There's nothing they can do. If anything's done this place, it's by the Spirit of God anyway. It's just a place we sit down. But let's go. Let's study about go. If you turn to Mark chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus began telling one to go. Listen to this. This was the man, the one that was healed of all the demons. He was healed, and immediately when he was healed, he wanted to do something. He wanted to stay around Jesus. Boy, don't that make sense? I know in our revival last week, I didn't want to see it end. I wanted to be around him. I wanted to be around that spirit I felt all week. I want to be around all of y'all. And when Thursday came, I said, Lord, surely we should have run this thing further. We should have went to Friday night or Saturday night. We should have done something different. I want to go back. I want to be with him some more. I got to do something. But listen, Jesus told that man when he was healed, he said, you can't stay around me. You must go. He tells him, he says, go home. Go home. He tells him, he says, go home and tell them about all the things I've done to you. Listen to scripture. How be it Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great the things the Lord hath done for thee and hath got compassion on thee. And I begin thinking about that one. And listen, I put that one first because it scares me the most. Is go home. You know what's at home? People that know you. You know what's at home is people who's been around you. What's at home is people who saw you grow up and they see you on a day-to-day basis, and our kids are at home, and boy, they see the true preacher. They see the true pastor. And what's at home is your husbands and your wives and your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren. That's what's at home. And brother, that's why it's so scary. But he said, go home. And listen, he didn't say go home and sit down on the couch and watch a ball game. He didn't say go home and just tell them it was a good service down there. Listen what he said. He said, tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. When was the last time that you went home to your house, whether it was a family reunion or you simply went in your home where your kids are, and you come in that day and you told them of great things the Lord's done for you? I want to be honest with you. It's been a long time for me. But most of the time when they see Daddy come home, I'm all upset about something that's happened at work. I'm down and out about something at church not going like I think it should. Or I'm down and out about this and that. When's the last time we walked in home and said, "Hey, let me tell you what the Lord done today. Let me tell you what Jesus done today. Can I tell you how he worked this thing out for me? Can I tell you that?" Go home. Go home, boys. It's hard to go to the house and tell them. I know we have a family Christmas time, and Stephanie's family has Christmas, and boy, they got a bunch of them, and I always call it the zoo over there. And she challenges me, and she gets on to me every single year. Been the same thing for 20 years. It'll be the same thing for 21. See, when I don't want to go somewhere, really, I drive slow. I drive slow. So if you ever want to see me drive slow, you'll be at our house on Christmas Eve. When we leave to go to Carrollton, you could pass me on a bicycle. And we go slow because it's somewhere I might not want to go. But listen, we go to all these places. We're about to get to that time of year even to be Thanksgiving. Listen, I have people come inside my house on Thanksgiving who are family who don't know the Lord, who don't know him. And Jesus is telling me right here in this scripture to go home. Go home and tell them about what I've done for you. And I begin thinking, Lord, that's the hardest way is to tell those aunts and uncles that don't know you, that has seen me grow up, that knows all the bad things I've done, that knows all this stuff. They know everything about me. It's hard for me to tell them they need to follow you because I know they're going to say, well, let's look at that little hypocrite. He done the same things when he was growing up. It becomes so hard. But listen, he didn't ask me how hard it would be. He said, go. Think about this man right here that has just been healed. This man was possessed of all these demons. And God tells him, he says, go home. Go home and tell them about what's happened. Yes, I know that when he come home and they saw him sitting down, clothed in his right mind, brother, he didn't have to say much at all. They could tell he had been with somebody. And listen, that's a lot of the only telling we have to do a lot of times. Listen, our lives are the scripture that people will read. But there are times we need to speak up and say, let me tell y'all what he's done for me. When's the last time we even told him at home? You see, I began thinking about this. God, why did you put home on our heart first? Why did you say go home? It looks like to me he could have reached a lot more people out in the streets. Looks like me could have reached a lot more right there in that area. Could send him to Africa, Lord. Send him somewhere else and tell him all about what he's done for him. I believe the Lord knew something. If we can't tell the ones we love truly and naturally about him, how can we tell people we don't even know? But is it not hard? It's just hard for me to go to my brother and say, you need the Lord. You need to get it right with God. You need to get in the house of God. You need to get your son in the house of God. It's hard for me to do that. I can't explain why it is. It's just hard to go home. But he says, go home. Tell him how good he was for you. Tell him what he's done for you. Tell him all the things. I hear, there used to be a preacher on TV, and I guess he still is. I don't have time to watch him anymore, but Brother James Merritt. Anybody ever listen to him? James Merritt at Cross, I think it's Crosswalk or something like that, in Atlanta. Boy, he's a great preacher. But he used to say something. He said, everyone has got something they can say for the Lord. He said, all you got to do is tell your story. Tell your story. You don't know Lee's story. Rudy don't know Lee's story. Only Lee knows Lee's story, and he can tell someone how great things the Lord has done for him. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a special speaker. You don't have to be anything special. But if Jesus has saved you, may I tell you this morning, you have a story. You have a story. You have something to tell somebody about how good he's been for you. He says, don't stop there. He says, tell them how I had compassion on you. Tell them how you should have been in hell. Tell them how you deserved hell because of your disobedience towards me. Tell them how you don't deserve anything of me and how I sent my only son for you. Go tell them. Go home and tell them about how much I love you. Hey, church, when's the last time we told them at home that Jesus loves you? When's the last time we told them when we had a family reunion, Jesus loves you? When's the last time we really showed them that, even more than tell them? When's the last time we showed them that Jesus truly loves them? We all, every single one of us. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but I promise you every one of us have a family member that is probably addicted to an illegal drug. I've got them. We've got them probably addicted to alcohol. We've got them probably addicted to many other things we don't even know about in their personal life. But listen, that loved one at home needs you to tell them that Jesus loves you. You see, I like to do it the old-fashioned way. I'd like to jerk them up and say, boy, you need to quit that stuff. And why in the world won't you quit? Why can't you quit doing that? Why can't you do this? But I wonder, how many times have they heard me tell them Jesus loves them? Jesus loves you because he loved me. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. Go home and tell them all the things he's done for us. Tell them how great he is. But boy, then he moves on from there. He told this demon-possessed man that was healed to go home. Then we come here to the scripture in Luke chapter 14, where he tells them here to go into the highways and the hedges. Let me read this. Luke chapter 14, 16 through 23. It says, a certain man made a great supper and he bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must thee go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste my supper. Think about this man. He's prepared it all. Boy, God has prepared it all, hasn't he? He prepared a place for every single one of us that has ever been born. He's made a way for them to be saved. Listen, at some point in their life, I promise you, according to the word of God, he drawed that heart toward himself. The Spirit of God drawed that man toward him. And at that point, that man had a decision to say yes or no. To say yes or no. And I want you to look at this right here. And this ain't the message, but I got a hit on it this morning because it's so good. Did you realize what they began doing? Began making excuses. Lord, I can't come. I bought a piece of ground. How much baloney is that? How many people have you ever heard buy a piece of ground and never see it? How many? How many goes and buys land without ever looking at it or having someone look at it? Nobody does that. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Hey, in today's time, it would be like buying a tractor. How many of y'all would go out and buy a brand new farm tractor knowing this thing was your livelihood and never even start it up? Never even check it out. Never even drive it, never even test it, never even knowing what it can do. We wouldn't do it. It wouldn't make sense. So it was simply an excuse. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. I better leave that in where it is. But listen, in that culture, that was a bunch of hogwash also. They didn't go on honeymoons like we do for a month or 2 months and all this stuff. No, they went back to the father's house and immediately would have got back to normal life, would have got back to work after the marriage feast was over. So this was not an excuse. This was simply, I believe Brother Terry said, I think it was Billy Sunday when Terry preached his message, he said that an excuse ain't nothing but a lie. What is it, the skin of a lie stuffed with something? I can't remember the whole thing. But listen, it's just a lie is what it is. But he tells him, he says, go out into the city. Into the streets, into the lanes. And I began having to study that and to see what he was truly saying. And it began hitting me again, just like the one about home did. He says, go into the streets, into the lanes, and do you know who lived there? Listen, who lived there. It tells us right here who lives in there. It says the poor. Go to the poor. Listen, church, and when we go out, and we're going to be going, I hope, boy, we fired up, revival's come, and it's time to go. When we go, hey, go to the poor. Now, I don't know who all's poor. That's not up to me. But I think he's telling us to go to every single person and tell them to come. Tell them to come. He says, hey, don't care about they don't have no money. You see, I believe this is where the reason that the church don't go to the poor more is we believe it would be a burden on our church. That's the truth. That's the reason all churches don't reach out to the poor and to the handicapped and to all these. We say in ourselves, well, Lord bless them. They just have to sit at home. Well, Lord bless them. They can't afford to come down here. And all truthfully, we say it in our mind that, Lord, they can't contribute to our new building. Lord, they can't contribute to our band ministry. Lord, they can't contribute to this. They can't contribute to that. And nowhere up there does it say that you worry about that stuff. It says you go tell them to come. It says, tell them to come. Go to the poor, to the maimed, the handicapped, the ones that can't do for themselves. You go to them and you tell them to come. You tell them to come. Listen, God's telling them here. He said, I come to my people, the Jews, and they wouldn't receive me. This is what this scripture means. I come to my own, they wouldn't receive me. So now he has opened this thing up to the blind, which is me and you. He's opened up to the maimed, which is me and you. He's opened up to the halt and all of us that was Gentiles, that God made a way for every single one of us. And why in the world do we be selective when we're telling people about the gospel? But we do. You know why? Because they may not smell like we do. They may not be the same color I am. They may not have the same beliefs at the moment I do. And listen, this is part of it. When you go out and you tell them to come and you invite everybody, you're going to get some that you say, whoa, I don't know if we needed them. I don't know if we needed them. I had a pastor friend over in Georgia. He was preaching in a prison ministry. And he was having them come to his church and had a great thing going. They'd bring them out there in buses. And he was preaching to them one night. And here was this big old burly Harley rider looking guy. He was, no offense, John, I'm not talking about you back there. But listen, he had the tattoos all over him. He had been involved in drug abuse. He had been involved in alcoholism and all these bad things and had gotten put in jail, and they brought him, and this brother was preaching to him, and this big old guy got up, had the long hair and the long beard and everything. He come down, he got saved. Right there that night, gave his heart to the Lord. And that preacher said, the first thing that old Satan put on my mind was, oh, I hope he goes to another church. I hope he goes somewhere else. What will my people think with him coming in here if he dresses like that, if he smells like that? What in the world will we do about this thing? He said Sunday morning rolled around, and he was already feeling convicted. He said he got up, and this church was way bigger than us, 200 or 300 people. He said he looked back in the crowd and didn't see this man anywhere. Didn't see him. He said, I was sitting there preaching with a broken heart of how critical my spirit was of him. And he said, I was preaching, and I got done, gave the invitation, and a few came up, and he got time to go outside, and he was standing at the back door, and here come a strange man. Clean shaven, brand new clothes put on. Had everything ugly covered up, and he walked outside, and he shook his hand. And the preacher said, brother, told him his name, and said, what's your name? And said, the guy started laughing. He said, I'm the one that got saved Thursday night. He said, I learned something at that point. It's not our obligation to clean them up. It's God's. God will clean them up. We need to tell them to come. We need to tell them to come. Don't care what they look like. Don't care what they smell like. Don't tell what color they are. We need to be worried about lost souls. We need to be going out and telling them to come in. Y'all come on. Boy, that's hard, ain't it? That is scary. That scares me to death. That's one place I would admit to you. You see, when we used to go visiting all the time with Concord, and I knew. I'm just going to be honest with you. I knew all the bad people is what I call them, I guess, in my mind. I would tell them, I'd say, y'all go over here, and I'll go over here. I wanted to go to the ones I knew wasn't in church, but I thought they might not shoot me. Ones I wanted to go to, and I'd send the other ones over there where they might shoot them. But they go over there, and listen, most of the time it's right backwards what we think. You'll go to the ones who you don't think would want to hear anything about the gospel, and they got their ears wide open. They're waiting to hear some good news that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, and that you care for them. You realize it's a lot of all these people in the world that are addicted to something, that are struggling with something. A lot of them have never heard that Jesus loves them. They've never heard it. You say in Cleburne County, yes. People in Cleburne County even have never heard that Jesus loves them. They never heard that New Harmony Baptist Church loves them and wants them to come and be a part of us. They think they're outcast and they think they don't belong. May I tell you something? Me and you don't belong. But Jesus made us. He cleansed us. Bring them in. Bring hither the poor, the maimed, the blind. Go into the streets and the lanes. Woo, don't you know in Jerusalem that was some awful places. Some places that they didn't want to go. The disciples said, no, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go in them places. They don't like us. They want to kill us. And me and you today live in a total different time than when he has given them this parable. We live in a time where you go to someone's house, I don't care what color they are, what they do, what they're addicted to, most people in our communities are going to be nice to you. They are. They're going to be nice. They're going to, some of them even welcome you into their house, and they're going to be good to you. But in this day, they would kill you. They'd kill you. He said, you go down there. You go to the hard places. You go to the places that's not fun. To the streets and the lanes. May I ask you this morning? He's telling us go to the streets and lanes, but when's the last time that you even went to your neighbors? When's the last time you went to your neighbors and you told them about all that God's done for you? That you invite them to church? You see, I stood guilty in this the other day and I didn't have anything to say. A fella come to where I work, and he's got family members that go here. And this family member asked me, did you invite him to church? And boy, that struck my heart, because I didn't. And I started making up all these excuses. Well, I don't know this. Well, I don't know that. Well, I don't know this. But listen, it don't matter what I know. We should have enough God about us to invite everyone we see to this church. And if they can't come to this church, tell them, say, hey, if you can't come visit us for some reason, there's a church right down the road we'd love to have you. It ain't about what numbers we can get. It's about what souls that get saved. When's the last time you went and told those neighbors? You see, I think the reason that our churches are empty this morning, I think the reason our pews don't have any people sitting on them this morning, is the churches have lost this desire to go tell them. I can remember a day when I was a little child that people would come around. The churches would be out on Tuesday and Thursday night, would be visiting, would be inviting. Did many of them ever come? No, they didn't. But listen, you realize the statistic on this thing is the average person has to be invited 16 times before they enter the doors of a church. 16 times. You say, well, I'd give up. Well, I would too. But God calls us to call the crippled, the blind, and all of them to come. Listen to this next part. He tells them something else. He said, go into the highways and the hedges. Oh, Lord, ain't that the same thing as the streets and the lanes? Go into the highways and the hedges. What he's doing with highways and hedges when he tells them this is he's putting out the whole realm. You go to the highways, Highway 9 out here. You go to the hedges, which is some of them back roads over there in Muscadine where I live in Fruithurst. And you go over here to Hollis and you go over wherever you can and you tell them to come in. You go over there and you tell them. And again, we say, Lord, it's tough over there. I can remember when I was growing up, we always went to Center, Alabama, and we went through Borden Springs. Me and John was talking the other day, and I know Miss Angela's from there. She's probably going to shoot me when she hears this. But listen, I'd always heard, boy, if your car turns up there, you're in a mess. You're in a mess. And listen, God even called us to go to there. He called us to go to all these places we've always heard about. Even if there's not a road, he says, you go to wherever people are, and you tell them. You tell them. I thought, God, that is, oh, that's redundant. We just preached about that in the next section. But then I saw a word that he put on my heart, compel. Compel. And I began studying that up. You look in the Greek and Hebrew of compel. It is one of the strongest words in Scripture. One of the strongest words. It's not of going up to somebody's house and says, hey, I'm from New Harmony Baptist Church. Would you please come? We would love to have you on Sunday morning. And we leave, and about a year later, we might go back. If we don't have it on our list, we've done been there. But when you look up the word compel, you know what it meant? It meant to drive, to drag. It meant to be persistent in begging even. It meant to bring them, however you had to do it. That word compel, when he told them compel, he was telling them, he said, hey, boys, I don't care if you got to tie them behind a truck and drag them. I want you to get them here. And we've got so civilized, we've got so politically correct, even inside our churches, that we'll say, well, I don't want to run them off. I don't want to run them off. And we've got to that so many times that we've got people in our neighborhood that have never been invited to our church. We've got people in Heflin even who have never been invited to a church at all because they look different. Because they smell different, because they're a different color, or whatever it might be, we've got people there that have not been compelled to come. And we preach every Sunday, and we teach every Sunday, what is wrong with our churches? Why can't we get revived? Why can't we do this? Listen, church, I believe we're as revived right now as we're going to get. If there's ever a time to go, it's right now. You saying, preacher, you tell me you need to tie them on a truck and drag them? If we went to that extent, we'd be in the jailhouse. We just got, God gives us sense enough to realize what the scripture is telling us. He's saying, don't go one time and never come back. Don't go one time and say, I'm guilty of this. Y'all, I'm going to be honest with myself. And with y'all about myself, I'm this way. That's one of my hardest parts. I'm not comfortable doing that, is going out and tell them to come. And if I do, I don't want to go back in 2 weeks, or I don't want to go back in 2 months. I'm going to say, oh, they think he, there he is. He's bad as one of them Jehovah's Witnesses. He's back. But listen, this is Jesus that says, compel them. Compel them to come. Pressure them. Hey, drag them. I read a story about, I think it was Charles Stanley. He was going through Bible college, and he was allowed to preach down at this little church in Georgia. And there he was, and he went to that little church, and they called him to be pastor, and they helped pay his way through seminary school. And he said, there's a big old mean man in town. That he went there and they began going out visiting. The church began growing, and this little house they'd been avoiding the whole time. Nobody would go. And Charles Stanley asked him, he said, whose lives there? And they told him this whole story about how mean he was. He said, I want to go. And one of the deacons said, if you want to go, I'll go with you. So said he went and said he knocked on the door and said, this old mean man in a mean voice, said, who is it? He told him his name, told him where he was from. Said there was silence. There was silence. He said, all of a sudden the door opened. And here was a man, big, burly, mean man, with tears rolling down his eyes. He said, I knew you was coming. I knew you was coming. I was waiting on you to come. Think about that tonight. Think about that today. They're waiting to be compelled. They're waiting. They don't believe we care because we have invited them one time and we never go back. We say, hey, preacher, I've told them to come. I've invited my neighbors, and they don't seem to want to come. Well, listen, I beg you, according to the scripture, you keep compelling them. I'm not saying call them every day because they'll begin hanging up on you. But what I am saying is every chance you get, and when the Lord opens the door, you compel. You compel them to come. And listen, there's going to be some of them that says, well, I can't come to New Harmony because this, 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 this. Then you say, hey, go to the next church. We want you to come here, but if you can't, you go and you get to God's house and you hear some preacher preach, you hear some singers sing, you hear the gospel message, and then it's up to them. When they're drawn, it's up to them. But I believe according to this scripture, it's up to us to bring them in. You see, nowhere in this scripture, nowhere in here, from Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 23, nowhere right there do I read where he said, I'll send them. He said, go get them. He said, I've offered it to all of them. It's theirs. It's theirs. It's theirs for their taking. But it's up to you to go compel them to come. Don't call any of them. You bring all of them. We started a thing at Concord one time where our pastor challenged us to pray for the person that we want to see saved that year. And I decided, I guess being as hard-headed as I am, that it probably ain't going to happen anyway, so I'm going to pick out the hardest one, I believe. I'm going to pick him out. And I know that there's no way that he'll ever come, but just to shut that preacher up, I'm going to do it. So I began praying for this man. I began praying. Prayed for 3 or 4 months, nothing happened. And be honest with you, I'd give up praying. I had. Hadn't prayed for him a long time. All of a sudden, I hear this guy has cancer. This guy has cancer. Now, I'm feeling bad at this point. God, I give up on praying for him. Lord knew when he'll come, so I started back praying for him. Our pastor went to his house to begin talking to him, see if he needed anything. And that night, that old hard, stony heart became a heart of flesh. He got saved. And I guarantee you this morning, he's in church at Concord. I prayed for the hardest one. I ain't bragging on me. That's the one that the Lord put on my heart to pray for. And he come. Yes, it took some compelling. God compelled him even, but he come. Listen, church, do we care enough about him? Do we care enough about this lost community to go? You see, as long as we sit in the walls of this church, this is probably what we're going to have. Even all the good things they're going to hear about a revival and all the good things you're going to tell your neighbors, this is probably about what we're going to have. There's so many places today that's in the same shape all of us is in. There's many pews to be filled. There's all this happening. No, there's not many churches I've heard of that are beyond capacity. So obviously, they're not going to walk in. They're just not. How many of y'all have ever went fishing and they jump in the boat? Outside of that river over there, I don't know where is it? Is it in Colorado somewhere? You can drive a sound of the boat, make those fish jump in. I'd be scared to go there. Knock you out of the boat. But outside of that, I've never been fishing and had fish jump inside the boat. I've heard a story of a brim or a crappie doing that one time, but not happened to me. They're probably not going to jump in here. Probably not going to come to see how pretty we are. They're probably not going to come to see what all is going on here. They're going to come when you compel them, when you go out and you tell them. You see, when they see a difference in you, they'll know there's a difference. They'll know there's a change. And people, that the reason Jesus told him to go home was he realized something. They're going to see a difference in this boy. And when they see a difference, they're going to say, what happened? What happened to you? How did you change? How did you get in your right mind? Why in the world have you got clothes on? And he began telling them, Jesus. All I can tell you is Jesus. He touched me. He touched me. Many of y'all sitting here right now know people that have been in the same shape. You've known them all your life. You say, that person would have never come to the Lord. That person's so hard. They're so set in their ways. They're so stubborn. They'll never be saved. And all of a sudden you see them one day sitting on a church pew in their right mind. Many of them even preaching the gospel. Many of them teaching Sunday school. And you ask them, what happened? All they can say is Jesus. Jesus. He changed me. He touched me. Your story is what they're needing to hear today. Compel them. Drag them. Drive them. Entice them to come. No, we don't entice them with something that's not the Word of God. We entice them by just telling them what He's done for us and tell them we want them. We love them. We want to see them saved. And then He gives us one last one in Matthew 28. Go into all the world. To all the world. I know it's not possible for every single one of us here to go to Africa. Or to go to China, it's not even possible for us to do that. We have jobs, we have different things, I understand all that. But listen, we can do things such as that little box we've got back there. I talked about during revival that they're wanting those children books and Bible stories so those kids in Zambia can begin to read. Why do they want them to read? To where they can read the Word of God and be saved. Lee McDaniel's over there, he's given up his whole life to mission work. He had everything. He had a great job. College educated man down at Auburn. Had a great career. Wife. Kids. Cars. Houses. Had everything. Lord put on his heart to be a missionary. Sold everything he had. Moved to Africa. Now he's still in Africa, but in Zambia. He's the coordinator there. And he says his dad came. And Wendell. And y'all got to know Wendell to love him. Amen. Wendell came and he says, I want you to help me fill this thing up so we're going to get a barrel. And then Wendell come back the other day and brought me that box that's sitting in the back and said, we've decided to do these boxes instead. But can your church get up books? Can you get up Crayola crayons to bring that these children may begin doing Bible books and reading Bible stories and be forever changed? That's how New Harmony Baptist Church can go to all the world. Amen. Just one's a little way. And there's other ways. And we'll get there. But when you study about going, the first thing that always comes up in Scripture is home. He tells the disciples, go to Jerusalem first and then to the outmost parts of the world. You start at home. You realize we live in the United States of America. We've got a church on every corner. With 750 Baptist churches and the Southern Baptists are added every year. And other countries are sending missionaries to California, to New York, to Chicago, all of our big cities in our land. And here we are with a church in Cleburne County on every corner, and they're having to send missionaries. Something's wrong. There's a problem somewhere. The problem is we've lost a desire for lost souls. So he's telling us to go. Never stop until all is heard. I wrote this down. For too long the church has waited for them to come in, and that's not even in the Bible. Not even scriptural. We must go. It's uncomfortable. I don't like to think about it. It scares me. It's uncomfortable to think about. But think about the reward. One day. When you're in heaven, you see someone that you said, that you told about Jesus. You say, well, I didn't tell you anything about what he's done for me. That's enough. You didn't tell me anything but Jesus loved me. You didn't preach a great sermon to me. You didn't teach a great Sunday school lesson to me. You told me about Jesus. That's all it took. You told me about one that loved me. You told me about one that what he'd done for you. And that was enough. I believe every single one of us, when we get to heaven, are going to have people that we had no idea the impact we made on their lives are going to be there because of you. You're sitting there thinking right now, well, I've never done nothing. If you're living a godly life in front of them, you're doing something. You're showing them a living, loving Savior who died for them. Church, we had an exciting time right now. Just finished revival, fixing to start. Our building's about to be started. It's sitting in Mississippi right now waiting on us. Boys, just ready. I beg you, if ever there's a time we're going to go, it ought to be right now. We're going to go when we're most energetic. I ask you to first, will you go home? Will you go home and tell them? Will you go to your house and tell them? Will you get your home in order? And then when we go to the highways and the hedges and the streets and the lanes and all these places, compel them to come. We've got an outreach team. We've got to get that thing in gear. Brand new year starting next week. We've got to get it in gear. We've got brand new classes with brand new teachers. We've got to get them in gear. We've got to get them going. We've got to go out. That's my prayer for this upcoming year. It's one word we'll use. It's go. Is go. God's lit a fire under us. He's got us excited. Hey, we decided we even changed sides. We went somewhere. We started. You may be laughing this morning, but you got to take one step before you can take 50. You got to take one step. Boy, that first step's hard. All y'all's got children. You remember when they first started walking? It was wobbly. Ashlyn started walking when she was 8 months old. Looked like something off a scary movie. She just a small walking in the house, no hair. But she'd start off and she'd be wobbly. Before long, she started making steps. Before long, she'd run. You couldn't catch her. That's the way we need to be today. It just takes one step. As we stand today and come with a burst of invitation. We've had a great revival. Great time. Great series of meetings. Great music. Boy, everything was just perfect. Everybody's excited this morning. Come in. I didn't say a word to anybody about moving, and they just moved. Change places. I'm excited. But it's time to go. It's time to go. It's going to take one step. The step you may need to take is to this altar. You may be here this morning, you don't know Jesus yourself. You may have been in church for 50 years. Your name may be on the roll. You've never met him. You never know him. I've told you this, and I'll say it again. They say the biggest mission field we have, even, is the pews of a Baptist church. Not just Baptist, but all churches. Where are you today? If you know him, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go and tell him about one that loves him? To go tell those loved ones you have at home, those cousins, those aunts and uncles, mother and daddy maybe even, need to hear you tell them about the one who can make a difference. Will you go this morning as we sing? You come for any reason you need. If you need to pray, you may need to pray for strength to go. You say, preacher, that's the hardest thing in the world for me is to talk to strangers. I cannot do it. I can't either. It's hard, but if you'll begin praying for me, I'll pray for you. And let's pray that God sends us to the right places. And I know he will. And he opens doors for us to go. You come at this time.